Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
So once again, please head over to patreon.com. That's patreon.com to help us out. Thanks.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And this is Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook at Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends. And on Twitter at Broadway Curtain. And on Instagram
at Broadway Curtain Podcast.
And where can you listen to our podcast, Kevin?
On the Stitcher and Broadway World. And on iTunes and...
WordPress.
On our WordPress website, which we're thinking about redoing at some point. And a shout out to our social media intern, Jennifer Dars, a student at Rutgers.
Rutgers.
She has, for the last, if you guys have noticed, maybe some more pictures posted on Instagram and some more regularity. It is not because that I listened to my New Year's Eve resolution. It's because we have a wonderful person helping us out with that.
Yes, so really, and she's nice. Great. And she comes and she takes photographs of our guests a lot of the time,
so
and
cool.
Videos, and she's wonderful. Yeah. And so big thanks to Jennifer, and a big thank you to this gentleman who is joining us for the third year in a row on our Tony Awards show, and that is the wonderful Tony Awards historian, Brian Hopgood.
Hey, y'all.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Back.
Oh, my
Welcome
goodness.
Back.
We're recording live on location from Gander, Canada.
Yeah.
You're here at a moment.
Oh, Rob.
I am still pissed that did not win last year.
Oh, same.
And I kind of wanted to do it as a write-in this year. Yeah. And be like,
come from away.
Again?
I keep thinking that it didn't win in my mind. I keep it playing in my head that it won.
And it's better.
But, yeah. But thank goodness it's running and it's doing really, really
it
well.
It is doing
yes,
so
is.
Well.
My students are like, I can't get a ticket for it yet. And I'm like, good. I mean, that's great that it's doing well.
It's really good. Do we hear music?
We do hear music.
I'm not picking it up, but
okay,
what is that?
Good.
We should tell our listeners we're recording today at the New York Film Academy, what we thought was after hours, but some of the kids are staying around and banging on the piano. So
yeah.
If you hear a piano in the background, it's perfect.
To be clear, they're banging the keys on the piano.
Yeah, well, it seems appropriate we'd have show tunes for the musical theater, the musicals. Side of our Tony Award.
Agreed.
Chat.
Agreed. And this season, the 2017-2018 season, we had 13 musicals. We had 3 revivals, and I'm 10 original. But I'm also throwing Springsteen
10?
And Rocktopia in there.
Should you?
Well, they
is Home for the Holidays not included?
Special.
Then? No, I included Home for the Holidays.
Oh, they goodness. Seem and special. I Those was, seem like special shows.
And very quickly on Home for the Holidays, I was very disappointed because I thought it was that horrible movie with not a horrible movie. I'm listening to the horrible piano playing. The brilliant movie with Holly Hunter.
Oh, the piano.
No.
The pianist. Wait.
Home for the Holidays.
Oh, I don't know what that movie
is. You've never seen that? Have you seen Home for the Holidays? It's with Holly Hunter where she has to go back home for Thanksgiving, and it's her and Robert Downey Jr.
Is this a Hallmark movie?
No. It's directed by Jodie Foster.
Shut up.
You've never seen it?
No.
It's hysterical. You should watch it. I'm just telling you.
Put it on the list.
Oh, Kevin's back. What did you do, Kevin? Did you tell him to stop playing?
Yeah, I most certainly did.
Who's playing?
They're the film people that were filming stuff. I just shut the door.
They were
filming something because the New York Film Academy has a musical theater 2-year school called the Professional Conservatory Musical Theater, PCMT. But obviously, they have the Film Academy and they will use the rooms with the pianos and then noodle on the piano, which is always nice.
Well, if we'll ask.
I love them. Noodling.
Okay, great. Well, we all love a noodle. So we're talking about 13 musicals.
Yeah, not boy, a what
very,
a year.
Not,
Ugh,
a, not a very lucky number for us.
This is one of the weirdest seasons of musicals.
It is
in
indeed.
A long time.
It really
I was
is.
Like, isn't 1985? What is going on?
The sequel to 1984.
Are you upset Quilters wasn't nominated?
I was like, is Black and Blue on this? What's going
Where's
on?
Leader of the Pack?
leader of the Pack. I mean, it was just very strange.
It is a strange year. So let's talk about which musicals opened this year. The first musical of the 2017-2018 season was The Prince of Broadway, the Hal Prince Musical Review presented by Manhattan Theater Club.
Which had been, you know, circling Broadway for years. You know, much heralded. They went over to Tokyo, Japan to
they
do
were in
it.
Tokyo for a long time.
While some of those cast members were still in it. And I was
Was that
left.
An intentional pun? Much heralded?
Wow. I would wish it was.
Okay.
But I was left, I still was hungry.
Yeah, same.
After seeing it?
I know we're not opining on these things now, but yeah, I was just a little like, that was nice.
It was nice. I felt a little bit of a wasted opportunity.
I love these performers. I love these people. Yeah. I love this music. I didn't love the final song, but I love these. But I really, you know, missed opportunity.
A missed opportunity. Okay, so that was Prince of Broadway. Then, like I said, I mentioned it earlier, it's been such an event this year, and that's Bruce Springsteen on Broadway. It's Bruce Springsteen. I know it's not eligible for anything, but it's...
Well, you joked that this was, you know, you put this in the musical category, and I said, oh, it's special. But actually, I've heard, it seems like it is like a musical in that it really is very reflective.
And it's acoustic?
And it takes you on a story. Yeah, it's very... And he talks, and he shares his experiences, and it's very reflective. And I think that I'm sure it does have that feeling of being a play.
Amazing. Well, great. Congratulations, Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
And now The Band's Visit was our first, like, musical. I would say in this season.
Oh,
David
Crumb. First book musical.
Yeah. Like a real, like an original book musical based on a film, but yes.
Scored by David Yazbek. Ingmar Moses doing the book.
Started at the Atlantic Theater last year.
Yeah, and it got a lot of buzz last year.
Major.
And I remember last year at this time, you said that next year, this year, Katrina Link would be winning.
And she still will be.
And
So Brian, even with 20 other people in the category,
I'm so pumped.
And Brian
called
that.
I'm so obsessed with her.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she's
so friends, remember Indecent? I mean, like that was where I was like, where is this woman? Who is she?
I re-listened to the podcast from last year a few days ago, and I heard myself wax poetic about poetical, if you will, about her in Indecent and being mad that she wasn't nominated. But I was like, oh, that's right. I was so pissed about it last year.
She wasn't nominated last year?
She wasn't nominated.
Which was insane.
But she's going to win.
We said that. But now it's like, it's okay.
Vindication.
Don't worry. No other good shows came in. You're fine.
And also, thank God it was recorded.
Indecent.
We're going back for a second. Indecent was recorded.
Yep.
And future generations can see how brilliant that show was, because I thought that was fantastic.
Beautiful.
Did you see it? No? Okay, great. So that's The Band's Visit. And then a favorite, which I'm surprised did not win the Pulitzer Prize this year, that's Home for the Holidays.
Live on Broadway.
Which was at the Broadway? Where was it? The Broadway Theater?
No, that was at the August Wilson.
Was it the August Wilson?
Yeah. Performing Girls.
And this was just a Christmas show.
I honestly, until I did my research, I had no idea that it ran. I didn't even remember it. I think I blocked it out.
It literally sold like 20% of its tickets on a weekly basis.
Oh, wow.
It was really, really poorly attended.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's just...
But there's no marketing for it. They just like sort of put it on Broadway and hope people would come.
I mean, it's not like Rocktopia was a tour
that
had been going on, had the structure, and then they just like rented the theater and went in there, which was part of the equity problem of are the actors equity? What is it? You know, all of that. Okay.
That's another story.
So Home for the Holidays, the hit.
And then we had our first musical revival of the season, and that is Once on This Island.
One of my favorite musicals of all time.
You like that one?
I love the piece itself.
One of the first, this is the first Broadway revival of the musical.
Since 1990 or 91.
Aarons and Flaherty, directed by Michael Arden,
who did
the magnificent Spring Awakening revival a few years back. Did you see it?
I did see it.
Beautiful.
I'm sort of on the opposite end of the spectrum from you. I don't usually love the show.
Okay.
But I thought this production was beautiful.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Solid.
And for our listeners who aren't aware, it's done pretty much in the round.
Yeah. I love that theater.
At Circle in the Square.
It's
after a hurricane has hit this island.
It's very sandy.
Yeah, there's lots of sand.
Bless that crew man.
Well,
woman.
I have a friend of mine who's in the show and says that they go home every night and they neti pot, and when they neti pot, just
sand comes out.
Oof.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but the production is so good.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry. You're never gonna breathe correctly again. But
right. Last show of your career.
I cried during Mama Will Provide, so I feel like it was your suffering was worth my happiness.
No.
And then from Chicago, SpongeBob SquarePants.
Boy, it's a funny...
A Nickelodeon cartoon on stage.
Boy, people, it's like you hear about it and you're like, I don't want to like it. And you see it and you're like...
Okay. I loved it.
I like it.
It holds
like
a special place in my heart, too, because that was it. My first date with my beautiful, wonderful boyfriend who happens to be sitting next to me right now as we record this.
Hello. I love that.
Yes. Jacob Shout is out. Here. This is wonderful. Jacob, thanks for sitting and listening to us.
You know, and my wife
Did
and I...
Did you like it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Jacob's nodding his head. He enjoyed it immensely.
My wife and I went on a date to see it together, and we had the best time
It was
as well.
Lovely.
We were so pleasantly surprised, and we were just like, we were just happy the whole time.
I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. We'll talk more about it later on, but I loved it.
Same.
And I never watched SpongeBob growing up.
Me neither.
We watch it every once in a while, but you know,
I had no idea. I had no idea what was going
on. I had no idea. I was confused by the fact that a crab's daughter was a whale. I didn't understand.
Didn't bother me.
Yeah.
Oh, the boom, boom. Oh, yeah. Never. Yeah.
Just be more accepting, Brian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Come on.
You're so right.
2018.
oh my God.
Then Escape to Margaritaville.
Sorry. I can't even hide my disappointment. It's just
the Jimmy Buffett musical that made the rounds.
Yeah, good
before,
for them.
Before it
good
landed
for those producers getting all that money
in the city,
you know, to produce it.
The Marquee Theater.
Good job getting
lobby.
The Marquee Theater. Of course, that. What other theater could it be? It has to be in the cruise line of theaters.
The cruise
filled with beach balls. Totally
I mean, really, and I guarantee that show's going to do really great on Norwegian Cruise Line.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yep.
Or they're just going to open up, because Jimmy Buffett's going to open up that
hotel
and area. So they'll just probably just throw it in there, put a theater space in
they
there.
They should.
Put Escape from Margaritaville. It'll run forever. It'll be great.
Can I ask you both a really stupid question? Because I really don't know a lot about music that's not musical theater related. Mm-hmm. He's really popular.
Well, it's based on the audience who's going to see it,
popular,
I'd say so.
Like the way that like the Grateful Dead were popular because the Deadheads love the Grateful Dead so much that they go to see a concert over and over and over again. Buffett fans, they have a name, right? They're called
Parrotheads.
Yeah, and they go to see his concerts. They travel with him. It's a lifestyle. So it is very much a way of life that they love his.
I was in Key West once, and I think he has a bar there, and I think it's called like Parrotheads or something like that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize his music is a way of life.
It literally is a way of life.
But let me be clear. I went on a Wednesday matinee to this show because I no longer have a job, as I pointed out earlier, so I can do that.
Nice.
It was full of people not retired age who were in their Hawaiian shirts and had their parrot hats on and were drinking their lives away. I was like, you people are committed.
May I say that I will say I love an audience coming to Broadway that doesn't usually come to Broadway.
Yes, correct.
And if this show is bringing... And if this show is bringing people to Broadway that don't usually come to Broadway, if one out of 100 of them is like, maybe I'll go to see another Broadway show, I'm okay with that.
Totally.
I wish
that.
The piece
Absolutely.
Was better and stronger and, you know, Paul Nolan, you know, Paul was in something like Bright Star again. Yes, that's what I wish. But I'll take it, you know.
But you know what I want to applaud them for, honestly? In their ensemble... There was a gay couple in the ensemble that was never used as a joke, never used as a punchline, and no focus was ever brought to them the way no focus was brought to any of the other ensemble couples in the show. Cool. And so I'm like, good for you, Margaritaville.
No big deal. Yeah.
So thank you.
That's going to come up again later.
Okay. and then after Escape to Margaritaville, this one was highly anticipated. And sort of melted away. No pun intended.
This would melted away.
This would
Stop.
Be enthusiasm melted away. And that would be Frozen. Disney's Frozen, which the theater owners were so confident that it was going to be such a hit, they spent a lot of money renovating the St. James. It had a little bit of a rocky out-of-town tryout in Denver. And then kind of a rocky...
It's pre-Denver as well. I mean, they've been peddling it for a while. It was on the cruise line. Mm-hmm. It was on... You know, they've been really trying a lot to, like, focus...
Was the Disney theme park for a while?
Well, it was, still, that's right.
Yeah, it's still there.
The Liesl Tommy,
it's a different.
Think,
it's a different...
It's incarnation. Yeah. All different directors each time, but I...
It's selling incredibly well.
Good.
It's very hard
very
to get tickets. It's going to run for a long time.
Good.
But...
Same thing. It's going to introduce a whole young generation to the magic of live theater, and the hope is that somebody sees Patty Murin in this and loves her and then follows her
and
to whatever
you'll
her next
see her
show
in
is.
Something really good. Yeah.
So good for them. Rocktopia, which had a lot of battles with Actors Equity. We got to hear that saga.
That was nuts.
How do you feel about that? You're a member of Actors Equity.
It's tough. You know... I understand both sides. You know, the idea this Rocktopia was a tour, rock show tour. There is a full orchestra. There's the lead singers, and then you have like the chorus in the back who are literally just supporting and singing. And you know, one of our students was in it, Majesty. Mm-hmm. But it's they rented the Broadway theater, and they wanted Actors Equity. Like, you can't just, you have to pay them Broadway prices. But the producers were like, if we do that, all, you know, 40 or how many people are in the choir, that's way too much money. That is not realistic. Hmm. And so that was essentially the battle. Hmm. I think so you have to make a special, you know, case, you know, because there are special shows that come to New York that they don't have to join Equity in order to be a part of it.
Right. Did Bruce Springsteen have to join Equity?
I don't know. I would be curious to know that. Something like that, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm thinking of like the time, like that guy who did the food show, you know, last season.
Alton Brown.
Yeah, and I wonder if he joined Equity or if he's just a comedian who. So those kinds of situations, yeah. I get it. So yeah. I can understand why, but then all those actors, all those chorus people are like, that's my Broadway debut. But then I'm like, then you should be compensated for that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It was a tough situation.
And it was a review of popular music.
Yeah, just, it was all pop tunes. Pop tunes.
And then we had, oh, you feeling fetch? We had Mean Girls.
I like your intros right now.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you. Did you see it?
I did.
Did you see it?
No, not yet.
I really enjoyed it.
Good for you.
Yeah?
I did. I mean, I have problems with it too, but I really enjoyed it.
My only problem with Mean Girls, honestly, was the fact that the entire time I was sitting there, I kept reminding myself how good the movie was.
Sure.
And so I kind of want something that's going to, if you're going to turn something into a musical, it's got to add something.
You often say that, Rob, about like popular movies.
Yeah.
That sometimes a movie is so popular that it's hard to make an adaptation of the musical because your memory of how good that movie is. I've always thought of you when you say that because that, you know.
But I feel that way too. Yeah. But I think what Mean Girls did better than a lot of adaptations of movies recently is that they kept enough of the movie, but the stuff they changed, they made more relevant to today's time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it worked. It was different enough that the new jokes were funny, but it still harkened back to the tone of the movie. So I actually appreciated the adaptation more than I usually do.
Oh, that's great.
Nice.
Yeah,
okay, cool.
And I think it's fun. When don't get me wrong. I think it's really fun.
Yeah. You had the screenwriter adapting it.
I mean, Tina Fey is a genius.
Knows what she's doing.
And her book is fantastic.
Yeah, so
that's the best part of the show, by the way.
And
the book.
The book is really great. I wanted
the score to
live up to what the brilliance of that book.
Exactly.
And that never really.
We'll talk
happened.
About that when we get to the category because I have a lot of thoughts about it.
And then we had two revivals opening back to back, both very controversial in the Me Too movement.
I didn't even think about that. It's funny.
Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel. Followed by Lerner and Lowe's My Fair Lady.
I love that we do the thing now with revivals of saying the writer's name. Remember we talked about that?
Last year we talked about this.
And now we didn't say, we did. We said Flaherty and Aaron's Once on this Island.
As opposed to whose carousel? Like did Jerry Herman do a carousel that we're unaware of?
Like, really? Like, yeah. I mean, yeah. You're like Tony Kushner's Angels in America. Oh, okay.
There's another Angels in America?
No, I'm okay with it. I just think it's interesting that we've gotten so used to that now.
Great.
We had those two revivals. You know, those articles have come out lately saying, you know, when we look back on these older shows that were written by older white men, you know, about these situations, you know, how do we deal with them? The ick factor that sometimes is involved with the misogynism, you know, and how we treat women and all of that. And, you know, there's some ideas that you can't, like, erase that, but you have to deal with it in a way. I don't know. How do you deal with it?
Have you seen Carousel or My Fair Lady?
No.
I saw Carousel.
I've seen both.
You've seen both. Okay. And you saw both, too? Okay. We'll talk about this when we get to revival.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll table that discussion because we have to talk about the last musical that opened this season, and that is Summer, the Donna Summer musical.
Wow.
It's a thing.
Good job, producers.
Which is selling quite well. The numbers are really, really good. Yeah. Did not get the best reviews. Critics seem to have a really good time tearing this one apart.
Well,
scathing,
not,
I'd say.
Not undeservingly.
No, but they just seem to go to town.
Yeah, they really did. Yeah. Well, I think they really wanted to send the message of, like, stop bringing us jukebox musicals.
Yeah.
They really wanted to get that message across. And a lot of them did. Literally said in the reviews, these musicals don't work. Stop doing them.
What I applaud about Margaritaville is the fact that they said, listen, We're just going to sing Jimmy Buffett songs. Right.
Yeah.
There's Marguerite in the lobby.
Yeah.
Come on.
As opposed
hop
to
on.
Summer, which is it's very serious.
Well, Sean's. I mean, my God.
It is. Oh, it's serious. It's pretentious. It's it skips around. I hated it so intensely. I'm not even going to mince pie about it.
I am not going to talk about it because I saw the final dress rehearsal. And I feel like I'm not going to be able to...
Oh, come on.
No, because what I applaud them doing, I hear, is that they made such drastic changes based on audience reaction in the preview period.
Okay.
And so I think it's... And I
feel like you can still comment a little
And I applaud
bit.
Them on that. I applaud them on that.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of Miss Summer's life that they just want to put up on stage.
That's and nice.
I wish it was filtered out a little bit more. And I don't... Yes, 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 yes. I don't know a lot about Donna Summer.
I don't either.
I know her.
I should go see the
I know almost
the musical
her entire catalog. More. The music is great in the
yeah.
show.
Oh, yeah.
They sound great.
Yeah.
And the women are great. The three women who played Donna Summer, I think.
Well,
are,
I'd say two of the three.
Okay.
I didn't like the young one.
The one who didn't get nominated.
The child. She was not great.
You were not a fan of children.
Not
okay,
a fan
great.
Of child.
He's angry. He's angry. The Mean Girls and SpongeBob tied with the most nominations for a musical this year at 12.
Wow.
So let's jump into these nominees.
Yeah. Okay, where we go.
But can we agree there was a pretty weak season for musicals?
Here's what I'll say, though. We just talked about plays. This year was dominated by play revivals. The new plays were crap for the most part. But this year, there were more new musicals than musical revivals that were strong.
Fine with me.
But compared to last year, let's say, when we had four nominees of new musicals that were all
solid.
Really great, better than solid.
Yeah.
It
just
good.
It seems weak by comparison.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, they were good. Best orchestrations. Yay.
Yeah, we love the orchestrations.
John Clancy for Mean Girls. Tom Kitt for SpongeBob SquarePants, Anne-Marie Milazzo and Michael Starobin for Once on This Island, a former guest of ours.
Yeah, that's right.
Jamshid Shafari for The Band's Visit, and Jonathan Tunick for Carousel.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know what mine is.
Yours?
Okay. Okay. I'm going to ask Brian first because he's our guest.
Ah! How polite. No, you just, now I feel pressure. No, I think it's going to be Jamshid Sharifi for The Band's Visit.
Oh,
yeah.
Me too. I agree with you.
Oh,
yeah.
I went in a different direction.
Where'd you go?
I went to SpongeBob.
Well, Tom Kitt's work is extra special. I have to say, Tom Kitt is not only the orchestrator of that, but he's the arranger. He's the reason why that show has, 17
different writers?
Yeah, 17 different writing teams.
But, yeah.
He made all of them sound, to my ear, as close to one voice as anybody possibly could.
Yep.
And if they can quantify that and if they know that he did, as orchestrator, that was also his job. That was extra special. Yeah. I agree with you 100%.
That's what impressed me the most, but if that wasn't a factor, then Band's Visit 110%.
And Band's Visit is cool because it's like, it was just instrumentation that we're not used to hearing, so our ears are like, oh, that's an amazing orchestration. No, he's playing on like a period, like, I mean, on a like a, an instrument from indigenous to that region,
right.
So we think that it's extra special. Really, it's just like a clarinet, a guitar, and
right.
It's not.
Exactly. I'd be fine if SpongeBob won this category, but I think the fact that they play the instruments on stage,
that also
it's just going to grab the attention of the voters.
Brilliant. True.
Yeah. And they had that the whole ending, the finale is just that, is jamming like that. I love that. You know, so
it's so good.
Great observation.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Best choreography of a musical.
Ooh.
Christopher Gattelli for My Fair Lady. Mm-hmm. Christopher Gattelli for SpongeBob SquarePants. Stephen Hoggett for Harry Potter, a play. Casey Nicholaw for Mean Girls. And Justin Peck for Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel, which is a very dancey version of Carousel.
Yeah.
Ballet, ballet everywhere.
Yeah.
Blow high, blow low for 20 minutes.
June's busting out all over.
Yeah, June busting. Okay, so what do we think? I know who I'm voting for.
What are you voting for, Rob?
Christopher Gattelli for SpongeBob SquarePants.
That's your vote or who you think's going to win?
That's my vote, and I hope they win.
Okay. I think that I liked the choreography in SpongeBob a lot. I don't think it's going to win, though.
Who's going to win, then?
It's going to be Justin Pack for Carousel.
So too.
But here's the thing.
I have to
agree. But I'd love to say this, because this is actually a category that always means a lot to me. I think that the choreography is wildly overrated in that show. It got a lot of praise. I thought the ballet in Act 2 was standard. I thought it was what I expect from a ballet when I see one of these old Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals that has a ballet moment in Act 2.
And also confusing.
Yeah.
If you didn't know Carousel...
Sure.
I don't think you knew what was happening in that ballet.
Also true. I just feel
no offense to Mr. Peck.
I feel like a lot of choreography does not equal great choreography. And I think that's a point of confusion that a lot of the critics had with the show, because I found Carousel to be pretty awful from top to bottom, if I'm being perfectly honest.
You can be perfectly honest.
But I thought the choreography in particular was, like, fine. If I were voting, I would actually vote for Stephen Hoggett for Harry Potter.
Oh, really?
As weird as that is, because I think it's really a movement. They do a lot with movement in the show.
Well, he and John Tiffany do that a lot together, and they do it so well.
Yeah, and it's seamless. But I don't think it's... I think... And by the way, I'm very bitter that Camille Brown was not nominated for Once on this Island in this category. I think she deserved to be nominated. I'm very upset that she wasn't. I think it's going to be Justin Peck.
Which is his debut.
Justin Peck.
He's from the ballet world. Like ballet, like dance.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
But we just saw My Fair Lady. And I will
say... I haven't seen it yet.
The choreography in My Fair Lady, especially in Act 2, is fantastic.
Thank you.
Underrated.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would like to see him win, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I was the choreographer on
I'm
it.
I'm proud of you,
but
Rob.
But I let Chris take the nomination. I've got so many.
You're
Tonys
busy as well. He's busy, but you're really busy.
I'm very busy.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I'm choreographing a Chorus Line next season.
Oh yeah, a new one, right?
Watch out for Bjork. She'll bite your head off.
No, Bjork was kind and is willing to take a back seat. I'll be playing Cassie. I hope you come.
Choreography and starring in
a Chorus Line.
Dear God.
Please come.
Okay.
Best direction of a musical. Oh, good. Jacob liked that one. That's good. Jacob's my costume designer. He's just thinking what I look like in the red dress. He's already fitted me.
Proud of you.
It's really tarp that's been dyed. But we're
Best direction
excited.
Of a musical. Michael Arden, Once in This Island. David Cromer for the band's Visit. Tina Landau, SpongeBob SquarePants. Casey Nicholaw, Mean Girls. And Bartlett Sher, My Fair Lady.
If they don't give it to Michael Arden, I'm going to have some serious issues.
It's not going
to
be.
It's going to go to David Cromer.
It's going to be David Cromer.
Although Tina Landau did a really great job as well. This is a pretty strong, this is a pretty nice category.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
but
look,
Michael Arden. I think David, the acting and work and the scene. I know how you feel. I know. Don't you dare get me started, or don't you get started. I know how you feel about Band's Visit, but I thought it was so subtle and so beautiful. And
all
I
five
love...
of these people deserve to be nominated.
Yes.
By the way, this
yes.
is the one category that they got right. I think.
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if Bart Sher won for My Fair Lady.
Really. I will say this, if any one of them win, I'm fine.
Same.
Seriously. If
yeah, they all deserve
win,
it.
I'll be like, great, they
well,
all deserve
maybe
it.
Not Casey Nicholaw so much for Mean Girls, just because it's not as exciting, but it's good. I liked Mean Girls, but I think the other four are probably more deserving.
You see, I thought he got some really nice moments out of some of the book work.
Totally.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an undeserved nomination.
Yes.
I think compared to the other four, I think the other four do more with the material.
Okay, got it. So if any one of them wins, we're all happy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But we think it's going to be David Cromer.
I'm happy when anybody wins, Rob.
Shut the fuck up. Really?
Yeah, of course.
Look at you, Mr.
Come
Optimism.
On. Oh my Best God. Pollyanna over here. All right.
Best sound design of a musical. Kai Harada for The Band's Visit. Peter Helensky for Once on This Island. Scott Lair for Carousel. Brian Ronan for Mean Girls. And then Walter Charbach and Mike Dobson for SpongeBob SquarePants?
Yeah, fun fact. Mike Dobson, I love that he's credited here. You know who he is? Mike Dobson is the guy who's all the way
yes,
to stage right.
Yes,
He's billed as percussionist and Foley artist.
He's the Foley artist. He's
oh
the one
my
who's
God.
Doing all the sound effects. Yes,
yeah, no,
he's
I have,
brilliant.
I'll talk about him later but or on another
oh,
podcast.
Oh, now I kind of want
but
them to win.
I thought that sound... I mean, if we're going to include him on that... then that was stunning work.
Yeah,
that
yeah, yeah.
sound, those, I mean, he does that every single night, sometimes two times a day. I mean, he never stops working in that show.
Right.
I Yeah,
I watched him like practically the whole
time.
Yeah,
me too. He was pretty brilliant. I actually did once on this island. Mm-hmm. I did once on this island.
That's who you think is going to win?
Or yeah.
You, yeah, yeah. I think it's going to be Kai Harada for the band's visit. But kind of bummed that My Fair Lady didn't make it into this category, actually, over Mean Girls. Mean Girls is a little bit of a weird nomination here for me for sound design. I had trouble.
Loud.
I was back of the mez. And I had trouble hearing some of the stuff.
Yeah, me too.
With Groundhog Day, you had remembered a problem last year.
Because I couldn't hear in the mezzanine as well. Is that the theater, I wonder?
But maybe this is the acoustics in the theater.
Because I had such a hard time hearing that.
We did talk about this last year.
I was back row. I couldn't hear anything. Best lighting design of a musical: Kevin Adams, SpongeBob SquarePants, Jules Fisher, Peggy Eisenhower, Once on This Island, Donald Holder, My Fair Lady, Brian McDevitt, Carousel, and Tyler Michelow for The Band's Visit.
I have no idea who's going to win this category.
Not a clue.
I think it should be Once on This Island.
Yeah, but Once on This Island.
I don't think
good.
It's going to
They're
be.
They're so legendary too, Peggy Eisenhower. Oh yeah. My god.
I went for Kevin Adams and SpongeBob.
I'm going to go with
that.
That
would be my
one.
Second choice. I think.
I would enjoy that. I would be happy about that.
Yep. Yeah.
As much as I love The Band's Visit, it's pretty darkly lit. And,
bleak. Yeah.
You know, it's.
And I thought it was romantic the way it was lit.
No, it's not bad. I'm just saying it's not super showy.
No, I did. I thought the lighting was romantic.
Yeah. In parts. Yeah, I hear what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, the moonlight and stuff. I thought they did a nice job.
Yeah.
Anyone could take this category, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Best costume design of a musical: Greg
Barnes, a previous guest of our show.
Yes, Greg Barnes for Mean Girls. Our previous guest, Clint Ramos, for Once on This Island. Anne Roth, boy, she's take a nap, Anne. Man. God, like you deserve.
Just a reminder:
it.
She had two nominations in the best costume design for a play, and now this is her third for best costume design in a musical for Carousel. Yep.
David Zinn for SpongeBob SquarePants, and Catherine Zuber for My Fair Lady.
I have a lot of affection for a lot of the nominees in this category.
Yes, I agree, and a lot of legendary, epic costume designers.
I'm always a fan of Greg Barnes.
Yeah,
but to me, what Clint Ramos does with the Once on This Island costumes.
It's beautiful.
It's just so cool.
It's so stunning.
Cool what he does with those things. Also, David Zinn for SpongeBob.
I love that, too.
But then Catherine Zuber, everything she touches is beautiful. And her My Fair Lady costumes are stunning.
Yeah, I was going with her because I've seen those photos and
they look
immaculate. So I was going for Catherine Zuber and My Fair Lady.
I think it'll probably be her because she wins every time she's nominated.
I'm going to go with Clint.
Good for you.
Yeah, and if you want to learn more information about Clint, go back and listen to our previous episode, A Favorite Thing that we had with Clint. Or was it a regular episode?
No, it was a full episode with Clint.
Yeah, and he really, his process and everything was really fascinating, so go back and check that out.
Best scenic design of a musical. Mm-hmm. Dane Laffery, Once on This Island, Scott Pask, The Band's Visit, Scott Pask, Finn Ross, and Adam Young, Mean Girls, Michael Jurgen, My Fair Lady, and then David Zinn, SpongeBob, SquarePants.
A couple double duty here for them,
Question for you in scenic design. Are any of these gentlemen also projections?
That's Mean Girls.
That's why those two other...
No, that's what I meant. So Finn Ross and Adam Young did the projection design.
Yeah, Finn Ross was nominated for 4 drama desks for best projection design because they do a separate category, and 4 of the 5 nominees were Finn Ross.
Oh, my God.
I kid you not.
Cornered that market.
The Mean Girls set is literally projection, projection, projection.
Oh, really? It's one of the only times I've seen a show with all projections as a set that I've liked.
I think it's
usually when it happens, I hate it.
Woman in White didn't do it for you?
Okay, that's a conversation for a whole another day. 2006 realness.
Oh, my God. They've come a long way in 10 years.
I actually liked the Mean Girls set.
Me too.
But if to me, the best set here is My Fair Lady.
Yeah.
It is, the way they do the set in that show is incredible.
They're so good at reinventing that theater, you know, that
and
space.
It's always
think
different.
Of all those revivals, every time there's a magic effect that you're just like, for me, I just start crying instantly.
Yeah.
The stage moves back for the orchestra, when the ship came out for Ping and King and I, sobbing. I mean, I can't wait to see My Fair Lady, see what they do.
I'm seeing it in July. When are you seeing it?
I'll go see it with you then.
I already got a ticket though.
All right.
So no, you won't.
Do you want to do that thing where, like, I watch Act 1 and you watch Act 2? Just switch seats?
Sure.
Performance time. Best performance by an actress in a featured role in a musical: Ariana DeBose for Summer, the Donna Summer musical; Renee Fleming, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel; Lindsay Mendez, Carousel; Ashley Park, Mean Girls; and Diana Rigg, My Fair Lady.
This is the category that I took the biggest issue with.
Talk to me.
Yeah.
Talk to us.
I think that...
only one of the girls from Mean Girls was nominated, and I think three of them should have been.
Yeah.
I agree 110% with you.
I think Kate Rockwell as Karen was robbed of a nomination.
Kate Rockwell is so good.
And I think Barrett Wilbert Weed as Janice was robbed of a nomination. I don't really understand why Renee Fleming is in this category.
That was a stretch.
Yeah. I liked her. She was fine, but I don't know.
And it's like, thanks for doing Broadway shows, Renee. Yeah. Thanks for retiring from opera. She's no longer an opera diva anymore. She's going to do musicals.
Every year, there's always a category that sets me off. And I go, just because you show up doesn't necessarily mean you should get an award nomination. And this is that category for me. You've shown up and you're getting an award nomination.
I feel the same way about Ariana DeBose, sort of, because first of all, Summer is just so not good, but she is good in it.
She's very good in it.
She really shouldn't be in the featured category.
Leading.
She and LaShawn's are both leads.
She's a lead, Ariana.
Yeah, and this is going to be controversial. I didn't like Lindsay Mendez. I think I'm the only person who saw Carousel who didn't like Lindsay Mendez. I like her personality. I love Lindsay Mendez usually. Her voice, to me, was not right for Carrie Pippridge. Mm. It just did not have the right tone, didn't have the right sound, and I'm biased because I'm obsessed with Audra McDonald's version of all of those songs.
Yeah.
But watching Lindsay, it seemed like, I said this to Jacob when I saw the show, it read to me like a toddler playing Carrie Pippridge. She like played it like a toddler, and it was distracting, and the accent that she used was really bizarre and obtrusive.
There's many questions about this production.
It comes down to the direction, ultimately.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If she wins, I'll be fine. I think she is going to win.
Right.
I think who should win is Ashley Park.
I agree with you 100%.
Ashley Park's performance is genius.
Although,
is there a chance Diana Rigg will be?
I was just going to say, having now seen My Fair Lady, that role is really not that big.
It's nothing there.
She's hilarious.
Yeah.
She's really funny.
It's more like, oh, thanks, Diana, for coming back to Broadway.
Yeah, she's really funny. If she won, I wouldn't be wouldn't be upset, but I kind of want Ashley Park to win.
Yeah, me too.
I think Ashley Park to win.
I think I would like her to win. I think it's going to be Lindsay Mendez, but I'd really like Ashley Park to win.
Yeah.
Best performance by an actor in a featured role in a musical. Mm. Norbert Leo Butts, My Fair Lady. Alexander Gemignani, Carousel. Gray Henson, Mean Girls, Gavin Lee, SpongeBob SquarePants, and Ariel Stachel for The Band's Visit.
Yeah, this one too. These were the two categories that I was the most upset by. Because Alexander Gemignani was fine, but like, he was fine.
You haven't seen Carousel yet, have you?
Unfortunately, not yet.
Please go see it, because I want to talk to you about it. I just have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
To me, the person who should win this category isn't even nominated, and that's Alex Newell for Once on This Island.
I agree with you.
Where is he?
1,000 million.
I don't understand
percent.
Why he's not nominated. I think I hate to be that person who's jumping to conclusions, but I have a feeling that the nomination committee struggled with the idea of gender identification with him. They think that he identifies as trans because he's played characters who are trans characters on TV, and the character in Once on This Island is sort of a man playing a woman playing a man.
So very quickly for our audience who's unaware, he really skyrocketed to notoriety on Glee.
On Glee. Well, the Glee Project, and then Glee.
Where he played a transgender character.
Exactly.
He does not identify as a transgender person.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Once on This Island, he's singing Mama Will Provide, where he's dressed as a woman.
Because he's playing one of the goddesses.
Yeah.
In the show, who has always been...
It's always a woman.
It's a woman. It's a female role. Yeah.
But he's gone on record numerous times saying that he is cisgender.
He identifies as a male. Yeah.
So you think that's maybe why
I think
that
plays a factor.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's a shame because I think he's really, really deserving of a nomination.
Agreed.
I think ultimately it's going to be Norbert Leo Butts who wins this category.
I think...
But I would be okay with Gray Henson winning it because I really loved him in Mean Girls. I thought he was hilarious. I loved Gavin Lee in SpongeBob, too.
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. Ariel Stachel, I think that's who
my vote's going to go with.
Why do you guys think that? It's funny. I didn't even have him as a prediction to be in this category. I actually had Itai Benson from The Band's Visit.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be nominated, too.
But I loved their work. I just loved his work in it. I just thought it was beautiful. I really did. I love Norbert. I mean, I worked with Alex. I mean, I love him. But I thought that. The Band's Visit,
I think that's the way it's going to go.
Okay.
All right. Now, this was really interesting. This is best performance by an actress in a leading role in a musical. It is not 4.
Everybody.
It is not 5. It is 6.
You get a nod. You get a nom.
We start with Lauren Ambrose for My Fair Lady.
Yep.
Then we go to Hailey Kilgore for Once on This Island.
This all makes sense.
LaShawn's Summer. Katrina Link, The Band's Visit, Taylor Louderman, Mean Girls, and then Jesse Mueller for Carousel. Okay,
no
gentlemen.
Frozen.
Well, that
Let
wasn't
go.
Surprising to me.
Let it go, indeed.
If one of them was going to get nominated, it was going to be Patty Murin, but with this category, she didn't have a chance. I'm actually surprised LaShawn's got in.
Me too.
As good as she was in Summer, because she's sort of the thing that saves it a little bit, and the fact that it's six nominees and not five, I'm sort of surprised that she managed to get in. I'm also sort of surprised that Erica Henningsen didn't get in for Mean Girls. She's the actual lead. She's Katie Heron. And I actually liked her as much, if not more, than Taylor Louderman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought Taylor's Regina was good, but I think that also it's not really a leading role. It's really a glorified featured role.
Oh, interesting.
She has two songs in the show.
Does she really?
Yeah.
She felt like a lead.
She really shows up in Act Two a lot. Yeah. She's not really in a whole lot of Act One.
No.
And she's great. Her performance is great. I think Erica was really charming and really delightful. So of the two of them, I'm a little surprised she didn't get in, but it's sort of irrelevant because Katrina Lenk is going to win this category, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah. Pointless.
Like, you know what's interesting? It makes you wonder if like the Summer musical didn't open so close to this time, if it opened in fall, would we be having these nominees in these categories? I wonder.
You mean fall of 2017?
Yeah, like if that show wasn't the last show to open, I just wonder if because it's the voters are the nominee are all, I don't know. It's interesting that those two categories.
You think that because it was one of the last things people saw, it's still present in people's
minds?
I
think so. There's a possibility.
I think
of
that plays a part.
I think also part of it is that it's LaShawn's and
she is loved. She is loved
in this community.
You are correct. You're totally correct.
And I mean, whether or not she thinks it or not, she performs that show as if she's in the greatest show ever written.
Like she's in Hamlet.
She commits.
She commits 110%.
Totally.
Bless you.
Yeah, so God bless her for that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So we all, though, agree it's going to be Katrina Lang.
If there's an upset, it's going to be Lauren Ambrose for My Fair Lady because of the Hollywood factor. But she's actually really good in the show.
That's what I hear.
She's really good, but she shouldn't win. It should be Katrina Lang.
I have a feeling if she does not win Katrina Lang, I have a feeling you're going to throw your TV out the window.
Yes.
I don't want to be with you when you're in the room.
We'll be watching those two. Oh, we won't be able to
watch
these together,
we'll be out of town. I'll be out of town.
Aww, I'll be out of town. I'll be on a plane. I'll be flying back from L.A. while the Tonys are happening.
Are you going to watch it on the plane?
You better get on that JetBlue.
I'm flying JetBlue Mint, okay. So I think I actually have CBS.
There you go.
So
better. Best performance by an actor in a leading role in a musical. The nominees are Henry Haddon Patton for My Fair Lady, Joshua Henry for Carousel, Tony Shalhoub for The Band's Visit, and Ethan Slater for SpongeBob SquarePants.
And that's it.
The musical.
Well, there are only five eligible, so they got four nominees.
That's right. You're right.
Yeah.
Poor Paul Alexander Nolan cannot catch a break. And it's
he's good.
That's what
he's
I'm saying.
So good.
He's so
he shouldn't
talented.
Have been nominated for Margaritaville.
Yes.
But every time he's in a show and he gives a good performance, he's overlooked.
He's gonna be his time will come.
Poor
he's gonna
guy.
Get in a hit show and he's gonna be everyone's gonna be like, where's this guy been? And we're gonna be like, hello.
Oh, we've seen him 90
you know,
times.
But okay.
Ethan Slater.
I mean
unless
it is
Tony
a
Shalhoub,
tour de force
Josh Henry.
Okay, so I didn't see Tony Shalhoub because he was already gone from the cast by the time I got to the band's visit. I saw his replacement. I just can't imagine them awarding that role, best leading actor in a musical,
to Tony Shalhoub.
To Tony Shalhoub.
No.
I think it's going to be Ethan Slater, but if it's not, it's going to be Harry Haddon Patton for My Fair Lady, who is fantastic.
Oh, I haven't seen him.
Wow.
He's fantastic.
Okay.
Josh Henry doesn't stand a chance.
Oh,
I don't
wow.
Think.
Okay.
I don't
see.
Wow, okay.
I think,
well,
other than Soliloquy, he gives a really one-note performance and it's really unlikable.
You did not like Carousel this
I
year.
I really, really detested it.
You can be... You can be okay.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm in the Ethan Slater.
I think it's
category.
Gonna be Ethan too.
I just thought he was. I was like, this is superhuman what he is doing right now.
Agreed.
Eight shows a week, and there's only six shows for Christine Daae. I mean, that guy is. I just cannot even. Oh.
And some of those notes are pre-recorded.
Hello.
Truth. Best original score, music and/or lyrics written for the theater, Angels in America, Adrian Sutton. That's
good job, Adrian.
That's an insult.
You're welcome.
The Band's Visit, David Yazbek. Frozen, Kristen Anderson Lopez and Robert Lopez. Mean Girls, Jeff Richmond and Nell Benjamin. Here we go. SpongeBob SquarePants,
you really
the
are
musical.
Do it. You're
music
do
and
it.
Lyrics
oh
by
God.
Yolanda Adams, Stephen Tyler, and Joe Perry of Aerosmith. Sarah Bareilles, Jonathan Colton, Alex Ebert, Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros. The Flaming Lips, Lady Antebellum, Cyndi Lauper and Ron Hyman. John Legend, Panic at the Disco. Plain White Tees, They Might Be Giants. T.I. and, I can't read this last thing, and Little C.
You know, they're going to know who wins based on how big the table is backstage with all the Tony Awards. I mean, does everybody get one?
I think so.
Yeah, that's insane.
But it's going to be going to David Yazbek. Yeah, for the band's
gonna,
visit, David, so.
It's luck. Yeah, it feels.
I just want to say, Kristen Anderson Lopez and Robert Lopez should be very lucky that there were only four eligible musicals in this category this season, because
you are not.
The new music for Frozen is not good.
You are not a fan.
No, and it wouldn't have been nominated if. Because, you know, the deal with that is if there's pre-existing music, the
yes.
musical has to be, like, 50% of it has to be new, or it's, like, 60, some percentage of it has to be new music
that.
For it to be eligible. So they're not awarding the music that's already from the movie. It's only the new music.
Oh, I didn't. That's a really fun fact. Didn't
and
know
the
that.
New music from Frozen is not good.
Okay.
So there were only four eligible musicals in this category, plus they added Angels in America into the mix.
Yeah.
Woof. Woof indeed.
Yeah. So, but The Band's Visit's going to win.
Yes. David. And I love the music.
Best book of a musical, The Band's Visit, Itmar Moses, Frozen, Jennifer Lee, Mean Girls, Tina Fey, and SpongeBob SquarePants, the musical, to Kyle Jarrow.
Yeah. This is a two-person race, I think.
Itamar Moses.
Itamar Moses and Tina Fey.
Tina Fey has the star power. I mean,
normally I would say Itamar Moses is going to win because it really is the better book of a musical, I think, in terms of the quality of the writing. But Tina Fey has that star factor, and it's the book that really makes Mean Girls.
Yeah,
like it really is. So I kind of am leaning towards her a little bit.
I am too. Actually,
I'm kind of thinking she's going to win.
Yeah. That book is funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Best revival of a musical: My Fair Lady, Once on This Island, and Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel.
Yeah.
What's it gonna be? I hope it's Once on This Island.
I hope Once on This Island, and it's probably gonna be My Fair Lady.
I agree with that. I think it's gonna be My Fair Lady. I am happy if it's My Fair Lady. I also loved Once on This Island. One thing I was gonna say about this when we talked about the shows, when we were listing the shows earlier, you mentioned Carousel and My Fair Lady as being like two kind of timely pieces because the hashtag MeToo movement. Whereas Carousel, and I'm sort of stealing this from Jacob, who's sitting right next to me, but he made the point to me, and I agree with it 100%, that Carousel had the opportunity to really make significant commentary using the colorblind casting that they chose to do, and sort of didn't do it.
Yep.
They sort of missed a good number of opportunities to make some pretty political commentary, and they just didn't go that way. My Fair Lady, however, the way Bart Scheer staged it and the way the actors are performing it, it really feels timely.
But they haven't changed anything either.
Not a thing.
It's still the... Because they changed Carousel a little bit, right?
Yeah, they cut
it. For the worse, by the way.
I have read articles about this that said basically exactly what you guys have said.
Yeah.
That, you know, that they had a they could have done something.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
And My Fair Lady feels fresh. It's actually the freshest I've ever... I don't usually love the show.
Yeah.
And I feel like it is a fresh, good musical
Fantastic.
For now.
Great.
I won't be surprised if it wins. I would be very happy if Once on This Island won.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
And then finally, Best Musical, The Band's Visit, Frozen, Mean Girls, or SpongeBob SquarePants, The Musical?
The Band's Visit.
The Band's Visit.
I'm with Band's Visit. However, you know how it's politics, too, and I wonder what will tour better. It's that argument.
People always say that, but I feel like that's not been a factor for the last 10 years.
No, it isn't. But this Band's Visit is Middle America. I don't know. I'm thinking of those theaters in Middle America, and what do they want
to
see?
Yeah, but think about like Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder when it beat Beautiful. Like, Beautiful is certainly a better touring show than that.
Yeah.
Beautiful was a better show, period.
I love Gentleman's Guide.
Mean Girls or SpongeBob?
I loved it.
But I want Band's Visit to win. I want Band's Visit to
win. Well, if one of those other ones is going to be Band's Visit, I think it'll be Mean Girls only because it's more tourable.
No, I don't think SpongeBob is going to take it. I mean, even though I enjoyed it immensely.
But I think it'll be Band's Visit.
Okay, so maybe Band's Visit is going to be joining Dear Evan Hansen.
Well, if you look at the past, you know, I think there's a possibility that it seems in the same genre of musical. You know, like it's a musical drama, not a musical comedy, you know, if we were to use the old terms.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be angry if SpongeBob won. That's all I'm going to say.
You love that. I love it.
I'm being dead serious.
I honestly, again, it's weird because we talked about this season being weak, but three of these four musicals, if they won, I'd be like, okay. The only one that would piss me off if it won would be Frozen.
Oh, yes, agree.
The other three, I'd be like, all right.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I'm with you.
I agree with you. I totally get that.
Yeah.
All right, listeners, tell us what you think.
Yeah.
Tell us your reactions, and we will see you at the Tony Awards.
Bye.
Bye. Good day, Mr. Thomas.
Good day, Mr. Schneider.
Well, it has happened. We finally hit over 100 iTunes reviews, and we would like to thank each and every person who took the time to do so.
Huzzah! Now, we want to climb those charts even faster, and that is where you lovely folks who have not yet rated us come in.
The process is very simple. On your podcast app, tap the search tab, enter our name behind the curtain, Broadway's Living Legends, tap the search key, tap our beautiful logo, tap the reviews, tap write a review, then tap your way into our hearts.
Tap your troubles away. That's nice, Rob. Once you are there, you can rate us from 1 star to 5 stars. Think of 1 star as Hervé V... Rob, how do you say this name?
Hervé Villechel.
Oh, dear God, I walked right into that one. Think of 1 star as Hervé Villechel and Ema Sumac in Sideshow, and 5 stars as front row seats to the opening night of Gypsy.
Buddy, kiss me. Yeah, they kissed me for the first time.
I thought that was pretty good.
We want to get good reviews, Rob. We want to get good reviews.
Excuse me, Arthur Lawrence. Excuse me for trying to liven up our commercial ads a little bit.
8-minute long commercial.
It's an infomercial at you this could, point. I'm going to be like that lady that sells you the copper pots. Look at this. You can put 400 pounds of manure in it, and it slides right out. Then you can make an omelet.
You got another line, Kevin? I'm waiting for you to say, plus you can leave your comment and let us know if you're liking what guests are like.
Plus
next.
You can leave a comment to let us know what you are liking, what you're not liking at this point, or what guests you'd like to hear next.
So head on over to iTunes and let us know what you think of our little show.
Speaking of little, I'll tell you a story about Charles Lawton later.
Thanks, guys.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.